Please join in the prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy Spirit of God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our reading from God's word is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. The Ten Commandments. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself, no form whatsoever, of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them. Because I, the Lord your God, am a passionate God. I punish children for the parents' sins, even to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I am loyal and gracious to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it had no significance. The Lord won't forgive anyone who uses his name that way. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not desire your neighbor's house. Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for how she adds to our worship every time when she participates. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you do speak into our lives. When you speak, you create, you heal, and you strengthen. You challenge and you mold us. Keep us open to what you would have us understand through this word proclaimed. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Mark Twain, who is an American humorist, a part of the very fabric of our country, indeed, told the story of an individual he was speaking to, and this individual said, I am going to memorize all of the Ten Commandments. And not only am I going to memorize all the Ten Commandments, I'm going to travel to the Holy Land. And not only am I going to travel to the Holy Land, I'm going to climb to the topmost mountain there. And not only am I going to climb to the topmost mountain there, I'm going to shout the Ten Commandments to everyone who can hear them. Mark Twain paused in his own way and simply looked at him and said, have you ever thought about staying at home and keeping them? A related story, I'll connect it. Reverend Fred Dickerson and I were friends back in Pennsylvania, and Fred, my brother, is in glory now, better than ever. But at one summer in Pennsylvania, we were walking around, and it was a vacation Bible school, and we had youth groups. And so we decided to gather our youth groups together, to walk around in the neighborhood where we lived, to have a video camera with us. Always dangerous when you have a youth group and a video camera. Just two things to remember, folks. And we knocked on doors of people that we knew in the community, with all those youth gathered around and two pastors and a video camera on them, no pressure, and we knocked on the door and said, "Can you name the Ten Commandments?" Don't worry if you see my car drive up in front of your house. No sweat. Two stories, but related. The commandments are called to be lived. They have been given to us in grace and love, not in any sort of punishment, certainly providing parameters or boundaries that are healthy for our living when we realize that, when we recognize that, certainly providing kind of an outline, boundaries, just like on a basketball court, you have those boundaries. On a football field, you have those boundaries, and that kind of guides you in what you're called to do there. In life, the commandments are just like that, but they are also called to be lived in a way that shares God's grace with others. Not for us to beat each other within the church or others over the head with. You understand what I'm saying? Some people want to get a big enough Bible that they can prove their point to somebody else eventually, wearing them down. My suggestion is that as God has spoken into our lives in a way of grace and freedom and forgiveness, remember what our focus is during Lent, right? The cross. We've sung about it beautifully. If God has responded in our lives in that way, then we are called to, in whatever way we can, respond to others in that way as well. You see? Out of love. Out of grace. Did you ever think about the Ten Commandments as a reminder of God's grace? Did you ever think about the Ten Commandments as a reminder of God's love? They are both of those things. And especially during this season of Lent, as we're on the road with Jesus and the disciples to Jerusalem. Now, obviously, the giving of the Ten Commandments happened way, way, way before Jesus was on the scene physically on earth doing his ministry. But as we're on that road to Jerusalem in the cross with Jesus, the Ten Commandments can inform our journey. Okay, let's be honest. Let's just take a time out just for a second here. Whenever I said Ten Commandments, who thought about Charlton Heston? Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Who thought about Charlton Heston? You thought about Charlton Heston? Did you think about that movie, The Ten Commandments? And there's a scene where Chuck is there, and he's kind of, this is the mountain here, just ignore the choir right now, just for a second. This is the mountain. He's being battered and beaten. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, and he's receiving it, and lightning, and things spitting and flashing, and beautiful flowing hair. Well, you know that part also. It's blowing, and it's flowing around, and he's like, you know, he's really struggling to receive these. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. And this is a really dramatic presentation, and yet the commandments are exactly like God speaking any other word that he has for us into our lives. Okay? It's personal. The commandments certainly were given originally to a community and to create community. Let me go ahead and repeat that. They did help to create community, all right? Because they gave a definition for how that community was to consider God and also each other. Does that make sense? But more so, the commandments do speak into our very lives. And so it's not that we have to receive them from someone else, that we have an intercessor between us and God. We receive them directly from God. And as we hear these commandments, they speak of life and renewal and hope. God is saying to us, hey, now that you've tried it your way, why don't you try it my way? Let's see which one works out better. And it's still offered in a way that we can follow or not. But when we follow, it also helps to order our lives as the modern day church as well, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God. And when it gets right down to it, it just plain makes sense. Those first grouping of commandments really speak to ordering our life with God, one-on-one with God. That intimacy that we seek with God as we follow that first grouping of commandments, and when we follow them, that intimacy with God only grows. That connection with God only becomes stronger. And again, remember, this is our own personal journey of faith. This is not a checklist for us to be checking on others. Are you following the commandments? Thank you for being the illustration. I didn't mean you specifically, but you know, thank you. Thank you. We're good? We're good? Okay, fantastic. Okay. When the pastor points his finger at you, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. This whole idea, though, of us specifically understanding, okay, it's given to us, God speaking into our lives, the commandments remind us of that. Have only one God. One God. There's only one true God. Understand that God is seeking your attention, and God seeks our attention so that we can hear God clearly when he speaks into our life. You see that? If our attention is other places, we're not going to be able to receive God as clearly as we could. So if our attention is on God, and we're not worshiping other things that don't last, that aren't really eternal and sustaining, if we're focused on God, then our lives are going to be richer spiritually. We are going to be able to understand God's presence more fully, or maybe be able to see it more readily. We don't always see how God is at work. None of us will ever be able to do that. But nonetheless, whenever we focus on God, we're able to concentrate our energies on how God is not only working in our lives, but in his world, because this still is God's world and creation. All those things remind us that connection that we have with God is powerful. And then it translates into our connection with one another. Those parameters that are given, that are healthy, that are wholesome, that are powerful, that are life-changing. How do we deal with one another? How do we live with one another? Well, these teachings, these words of God, remind us how to do so where community is built up, okay? Where we're able to respect one another, where we're able to encourage one another, and most of all, understand that not only has God spoken into my life, but God has spoken into your life as well. And yours, and each and every one here. All right? Those commandments remind us, therefore, to see God at work speaking into that life that's put right in front of us. And when we can understand that God is at work speaking into that life right in front of us, it makes a difference, doesn't it? That person is seen differently. As Christians, we say, you're a brother in Christ. You're a sister in Christ. That's how we name it. And that is something that reminds us, yeah, God is at work in you speaking into your life, which is what the commandments point us towards. So you see, there is an awful lot of hope, and there is an awful lot of joy in these commandments. Not just simply a checklist of this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do next. Walter Brueggemann, who is one of my favorite professors, but also a theologian, captures the sense of these words when he comments in this way. These commands might be taken not as a series of rules, but as a proclamation in God's own mouth of who God is and how God shall be practiced by this community of liberated slaves. You understand that the Ten Commandments come in the Bible after the covenant has been created with Abraham. And so these are reminders, as Dr. Brueggemann says, this is a proclamation of who God is and how God can then be practiced or shared in community. Have you been practicing God this past week? Have you been practicing God in your home, in your relationships? And as a community, that might be the best question for us to keep in front of us. Have we been practicing God as a Christian community? Something for us to each consider, understand. That's something, a question for each of us to just ponder in the shadow of the cross, but also something for us to think of as a church, as a house of prayer, as the body of Christ. As we continue on our journey of Lent, may this not be the last time you read the Ten Commandments. As a community of faith, may this be a time where we can reclaim them as God speaking into our lives as individuals and also as His community. And may we look on these as an opportunity to practice God as we help build God's kingdom in the name of Jesus. I ask that you join with me in singing our final hymn. We're going to be singing the first verse of this hymn, and it can be found on number 359 in our red hymnals, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?"